Are you a little groggy this morning? The beginning of daylight savings time. It's got its benefits, but it's got its drawbacks too. It might take us a few days to kind of get adjusted to that feeling that we've lost an hour. But I actually love the additional hour at the end of the day, that extra sunlight, that the sun will stay in the sky seemingly longer now coming into summer. And I love that feeling. I love that feeling of light and warmth. It can be a really, really cold day, but if the sun is shining, it just makes all the difference in the world. And I really, really have come to love the season of summer, especially here in Minnesota. And it might be a little briefer than other areas, but I love that season of summer because I love to be outside. And in those winter months, we're stuck inside for so long. So during the summer, I try to stay outside every day as long as I possibly can to just soak it in, to store up in myself some of that warmth, some of that light for when the other seasons come. But as much as I love summer, I really do love the changing of seasons too. Winter, summer, spring, fall. I love that we have the full breadth of seasons here in Minnesota. It's really helpful because it really follows the seasons of life too. It's a normal thing to transition from one season to another. Even though we might be tempted to just forget about Minnesota and move to someplace like San Diego, where it's always beautiful, where the sun seems always shining and it's always warm, I think we'd miss something. We'd miss something just about that normal changing of seasons. It's a really healthy thing, and we come to enjoy summer more, I think, because we know what happens in winter and the differences with fall and spring. Each season helps us appreciate the next one, I think, even more. It can become like a misnomer, too, even with the life of faith. In the life of faith, sometimes we think, if I just had more faith, if I was just a better Christian, then things would always be sunny. Things would always be warm. Things would always go my way. That's how we treat the saints. That for the saints, for those who have a higher faith, everything's just always clear for them. Everything is discernible. Everything's bright and sunny when I have more faith. But that's not true. That's not true with the life of faith. In the life of faith, it follows like our seasons of the year. Sometimes things are clear. Sometimes things in our lives of faith are sunny, and they are warm and enjoyable, but sometimes they're not. And it's going from these seasons that actually helps increase the faith in my heart. It's not just when things are sunny that I can have good faith. It's when things aren't sunny, when things aren't bright, when things aren't clear. That is an even more important time of faith. Faith is there to carry me through dark times. And there was even this quote that was inscribed on the wall of an internment camp during World War II that really gets to this reality. Presumably it was written by a Jewish prisoner or someone who was interred in that camp. And they found it after the end of the war, and this is what the inscription said on the wall of this dark hole, a dark, dark place in the world's history. They found this inscribed: "I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I don't feel it. I believe in God, even when he's silent." That, I think, is a clear presentation of faith. I have experienced when the sun is shining. But I've experienced when it's cloudy too. I've experienced and felt love in my life, and each of you have too. But there's been times in our lives when we haven't felt love. There have been times of consolation when I have heard the voice of the Lord in my heart and I've been increased in my devotion. But there's been dry, dark times too. But whether the sun is shining or not, I know it still exists. Even if it's behind the clouds, or even if it's nighttime, I know that the sun just didn't stop existing. It's still there, even if I can't see it. And this is a real definition or a real representation of what faith is. In the letter to the Hebrews, we actually get a very clear definition of this faith. The writer to this book says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things unseen. Faith roots me in a reality that I can't quite grasp. It's something I'm hoping for. It's something I can't see. But it's something I'm still convicted exists. And that's really the full breadth of what our faith is. It's the thing that carries me through when it's sunny or when it's cloudy. Faith is that conviction of things unseen. And this is, I think, the beauty of this mystery we celebrate at the beginning of our Lenten season. We get these readings every year, giving us a clear representation and the full breadth of faith. We start in the book of Genesis at the very beginning of the Bible with this character, Abram. And Abram, we even call our father in faith. Abram's our father in faith. He's a representation to us of what faith looks like. And the Lord comes to him today and he gives him a promise. He says, look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Just so shall your descendants be. The Lord is saying this to Abram when he was old in years, married to a barren woman who was also advanced in years. But the Lord gives him this promise, you're going to have as many descendants as you can count the number of stars in the sky. And then the very next line, it says, Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. Abraham couldn't see the full breadth of the Lord's promise. He had to come into a place of surrender to that promise. And I think I've even mentioned this in a homily before. At the time of day when the Lord brings Abram outside and tells him to look up at the sky, from the context of this reading, it was the noon of the day. And so the Lord brings Abram out when there are no discernible stars in the sky, and he tells him, look up and count the number of stars if you can. And Abram may be looking and looking and looking. And maybe he sees one star, the sun. Or maybe even it was a cloudy day. And Abram couldn't even see that one. But Abram longed for, he hoped for something unseen. And it says he put his faith in the Lord. And then later in this reading that we get today, it says, then the sun was set and it became dark. And that's when the covenant was more clearly revealed. After the sun set, then Abram could see the stars. Then he could see more of the Lord's promise in the sky. But when the Lord made the promise, it was daytime. Abram was invited into this place of trust even when he couldn't see the full breadth of the Lord's promise. And then with our gospel today, as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, the Transfiguration, we always get this reading here at the beginning of Lent when our Lord is glorified on the mountaintop and there's this cloud of mystery around him, this cloud of glory. And he brings his closest disciples to him, Peter, James, and John. The others aren't there. They're at the bottom of the hill. So they don't get to see this privileged place that the Lord invites Peter, James, and John into. And so they're there with him. He becomes dazzling white. I imagine it just became so bright on that mountain that the disciples probably had to shield their eyes. They couldn't take in the full glory of our Lord in that moment. And they liked it. They liked that moment of light. They liked that moment of warmth and glory, so much so Peter wanted to stay there. Peter says to Jesus, "Master, it's good that we're here. It's good that we're here. Let's build tents. Let's set up camp. Let's stay in this sunny time. Let's stay in this glorious moment." But then really quick, it changes. The glory fades. It was just a glimmer that Jesus gave to them. It was like maybe the glimmer of summer here in Minnesota. It's here and then it's gone. And we want to stay in that moment. We want to experience that warmth, hold on to that light. But then it's gone. And we're left wondering, how do I now go forward? But this is precisely the key to this passage. The fathers of the church have given a traditional interpretation of this account of the transfiguration. I think that's really helpful for us to understand what faith is. The fathers said that this moment of the transfiguration, this showing of God's glory right before his passion, right before a very, very dark time, was given to Peter, James, and John to remove the scandal of the cross. It was given to them so that when that dark time came, when that time when the Lord's glory was hidden, they might remember it in their hearts and it would carry them through that darkness. It's like storing up summer in our hearts that gets us through winter. It's holding on to some light in my life that's going to get me through the challenges, that's going to remind me, even if I can't see the sun, I know it still exists. Even if I don't feel love, I know it's still real. Even if I can't hear God, I know he's still there. Because I've stored up in my heart this faith that can carry me through those dark times. And that's what Jesus is giving here to Peter, James, and John, that they would remember the darkness, the passion of the cross leads to the resurrection. That there's no cross that we experience in our lives that at the end of it, we don't experience God's glory. We don't experience the light. We don't experience the love, the warmth. There's no cross that exists that on the other side of it, we don't also get to enjoy the glory, the resurrection. And so here at the beginning of Lent, I just invite us into that place of faith. Outside, it's going to start getting brighter and brighter. We're going to have longer days. There's more sun. But inside the church during these next 4 weeks of Lent, it actually gets darker. It gets harder. We contemplate harder mysteries like the passion, the suffering, the cross of Jesus. And so during these weeks of Lent where we contemplate that our Lord's passion, let's store up for ourselves the promise of his glory, the light of the transfiguration, that there's no passion, there's no cross that doesn't lead to resurrection and glory.